Everybody, welcome to 2ZQ Hot Takes, where we discuss issues both big and small. I am your host, the very handsome Tim Kirk, and this time I'll be talking about temporary friends. Everything is temporary. Either you are making changes, they are happening to you and around you, or a combination of all three. In the 30 plus years I have lived here, I've done everything I've ever wanted to do in New York City except succeed. The entire time I was closeted, I never once got drunk and had an overwhelming desire to sleep with a woman. Just say it. I mean, if you look at it in a certain way, a succession of pleasurable and cultural indulgences might be viewed as success, although in many estimations, I might think they are all ill-considered successes, or rather puerile in the grand scheme of things, or are they not? Who knows in the long run? I have gotten to do a lot of things I otherwise would never have been exposed to and enrich my mind and satisfy desires or even further grew my own enchantment and desires for more of the savored experiences. That just might be a consideration of success. I certainly would not experience any of it in most other places in the world, so by that metric, I have succeeded beyond most of my wildest dreams. In other metrics, not so much. I would very much like to exploit the amalgamated experiences into something lucrative before I shuffle off this mortal coil, that's for sure. Just seems natural. I just keep missing opportunities, either by lack of perception or turns of fate. My bad. And some not. But it is all so fleeting, and before you know it, you are no longer the demographic being pursued wherever you go. You are tolerated, and then become a curiosity if you dare impose yourself on the people uninterested in your existence. As an aside, I knew someone who was well into his seventh decade, and to appear relevant and current, he would take and post to social media platforms selfies of himself in venues located in Brooklyn, whether it was Williamsburg or Bushwick or Ridgewood on the border of Brooklyn and Queens. And now I am told Maspeth in Queens is the new Ridgewood, by the way, while wearing a ski cap in the middle of the summer at 3 a.m. with people four decades younger than he. Sore thumb, meet stand out. Now, back to my parable. The idea of everything being temporary, this is most evident to me when I realize how the passage of time has taken its toll on my connections to all others. Time passes so quickly as we get older, and that despite our intentions to remain in touch, many others in our lives are people who tend to fade away. We mean well. We think we can maintain the goodwill we secured in the past we had, and, or for the most part, it is there in some degree in mind and spirit. And due to social media, we remedially reconnect in some fashions, but the practice is lesser than we had due to distance of time and actual real-world separation. I'm at the point now where I have to assume that a lot of those who are no longer in my life are no longer on this earth. So, real friends versus temporary friends. For the most part, you only have a few real friends, if you're lucky, and they are the people in your life who will tell you the harsh truth. Stop acting like an idiot. You look stupid like that. What's the matter with you? All good things to hear from people who care about you when you are making less than stellar choices and need a censor of some kind. Yeah, you do. And you need to listen to them. Temporary friends die or fade away when you become less convenient, you resist sliding down their paths, or sometimes things just happen. Some people are never really your friends. They are just there. And you can find something or a few things about them that are not altogether objectionable, and you stick with those few points to build a working relationship around, you know, just so you can deal with each other. You just don't know that some friends are temporary. Temporary friends die. They really do. In many cases, you don't have an inkling that your friendship is temporary over the span of your life and theirs. You just enjoy the experience in all of its forms until it ends, and sometimes it ends abruptly, tragically, or even in some cases, bitterly. Ew. They become ill and pass away, and that's so sad and tragic. and in many cases, they leave this world far too early. And in many cases, their entire family passes away and they are all erased. There is no evidence of them to be found on the surface of things, all gone. It is like going back to your old neighborhood and there is not a trace of anyone who lived there when you grew up, and that is how it is. Or any personally significant landmarks. They were obliterated to make way for the new arrivals. And in many cases, it's similar to those friends you had. They're gone. And some of those friends became addicted to drugs. They died way too young from diseases. And there are those tragedies like freak accidents, like something bizarre happens and in odd circumstances, things pile up on top of each other. And you don't want to get hung up on odd experiences that don't benefit you or are to your detriment to be stuck on. This too shall pass. However, for many people, it becomes one of those eras in your life when you yell at the universe to stop for a little while because so many people pass away in a concentrated period of time, it makes you weary. You have to snap out of that funk and move on. You still have to live, of course, and get back up and go without forgetting the best parts of the people you lost and loved. They get into fatal car crashes. They get arrested. They perish or disappear from view. But if you let it, it spirals down from there. You can't do that and expect positive results. Others just kill themselves with sloth. I've witnessed people my age drink themselves to death. People with storybook romances who drank themselves out of their marriages and jobs and into incurable illnesses. I've seen absolutely beautiful specimens of manhood, guys who were just stunningly fit, handsome, pleasant, and extremely attractive become addicted to both crystal meth and steroids at the same time, and they become grossly ill and disfigured husks of their former selves, while some rightfully prosper and have no use for you. You might sometimes feel left in the dust, but they aren't supposed to hang around because you aren't motivated, and they aren't obligated to drag you with them like an albatross either. I can't really blame them if they moved on without any baggage that impacted me, so carry on and tally-ho. Others do things you cannot reconcile with. You're not cool with it, so you back off. And that can lead to various forms of estrangement. And it doesn't benefit you in any way to dwell on that, but just keep going and leave a few reminders in your rearview mirrors as to why you moved on. Don't forget why you left. You had to, and it is better for you. You can't get lost in other people's ethic-free netherworlds of self-seeking aggrandizement, debauchery, or forsaking their inner voices when you have your own demons to fight. And hopefully you are successful in those battles. It is all over way too soon anyway. Life is way too short. And if you ever get curious, remember the expression that it is best to let sleeping dogs lie. It really is. If you haven't been in touch with certain people or groups in a really long time, that's fine. Keep that music playing. You don't need the extra nonsense or the disappointment in learning that people have not grown or done anything noteworthy or memorable or even just peeked out of their shells. That is kind of sad. So the idea is, let's give things a try and see how far we can go, even if it is a flop or a mild success. You do it and move forward. You got to do it. At least try. Fail, crash, and burn. Be ignominious. Be a nobody. Be a nothing, but be. And you might make a mark or a mistake or even a hit. It might be a mark that smarts or leaves more of a smudge, but you were there and you did it. Make a name for yourself, big or small. Just don't stand still. If you can go, go. Make one step and then another and keep going. Standing still is not an option. You will be amazed at your progress if you don't quit. The ones who die are the ones you have strong memories of because they leave an imprint as a moment of time when they passed away, trapped in your mental amber. Those are thresholds you pass through. Others do some weird shit and then they go away. Your real friends will look you in the eye and be honest to you about you. You can trust them. Well, comparatively. I'm at the point where I think people I have lost contact with, and considering how many people I knew who have left this earth in the first place, I am somewhat confident that many of the ones I have lost contact with are also gone. whether it was recently due to such things as COVID or a fatal disease, substance abuse, thralls to cheap thrills, and the results are as apocryphal as any fable would be, or whatever an odd fluke of circumstance. Or they have become sick of me, and they have just left me. I do not wish them harm or ill will, but I have to think a lot of them have succumbed to their fates. We all do. The odds are pretty good that people you have not heard anything about in four decades or more are no longer here. We have mutually separated, or I have generated ill will somehow, and it is my fault altogether, and I know that it is true, much to my own failings and deep disappointment in myself over the course of my life. Those are regrets. I have my share. If I had a crystal ball to see things, I would never have engaged in or done in lesser degrees. I would have seized on the opportunity to capitalize or exploit experiences, but my nature was hampered by a number of not only my own intellectual and emotional weaknesses, misperceptions, lack of perceptions, lack of cognitive ability, ignorance and immaturity, selfishness, but physical limits due to pain and injuries. Such is life. And one of my own failings is to compare myself with people who would never succeed and resent those who did, instead of cheering on those who succeeded and modeling my actions after theirs and letting the ones who slipped away keep a lesser place in my mind and not be at the forefront so I could feel better or less bad about not being as sad as they became. These are petty, superficial foibles, and I have been spending a lot of my conscious life trying to overcome them to my and others' best interests. That being said, I have a lot of people in my life I really should have made better choices about. But I know myself to be foolish and want things to work out magically instead of realistically or practically, which is what I wound up becoming more of than I ever imagined. I never thought I'd wind up being as practical as I wound up being. We become too soon old and too late smart, too easily seduced and distracted by momentary pleasure and gratification. And I have stories. Boy, do I have stories. People tell me that I should write a book. I doubt many people would believe what I have to tell. Some stories are ludicrous and all true. Others are just awful. Others still are fantastic, and others are full of the lore that captures people's imaginations for better or worse. Some would cause the subjects to, at the very least, dispute my recollections. Others would make people look at me twice and hesitate going forward. I don't blame them. Brushes with fate, brushes with excess, brushes with hedonism, brushes with pure evil, brushes with calamity, brushes with celebrity, brushes with the law, brushes with sex, brushes with death, and several other kinds of brushes. I'm like the Fuller Brushman of stories. I've pulled myself out of a few downward spirals, and a lot of those involve local yokels, and they weren't big city crime. One fellow, a casual friend to our gang of chums, was sitting in the car with us. We were all smoking weed in the parking lot of a local pub in our neighborhood in the suburbs, and this guy was with us getting high. Then, as he left, he said he was going to see his girlfriend. We did not know that she was his ex-girlfriend, and as he left us, we saw him go to the back door of the building where she had a second floor apartment, and he went in and beat and sexually assaulted her. We never saw him again. The Burbs, another, a local, known to be weird and not the cleanest guy in the world either. We joked about the line of grime on his forehead when he would sweat because he did not bathe on a daily basis. And when he would sweat, the line of dirt from his hairline would inch or slide down across his forehead. So this guy was from a highly dysfunctional family in the first place. His mother was having an affair right in front of his father, and his father was a bit on the dim side. She was not like a femme fatale in a film noir. These were petty, vulgar, unattractive, obvious venal sorts. I am not being unkind. His father had a work colleague, a fellow bus driver, who committed an infamous atrocity that shook the New York metro area when one day he apparently snapped and slaughtered his entire family. It was tabloid news for a good period of time. When his name was brought up in conversation, as one might do, considering they were co-workers, the father sat back in his easy chair to watch the game, merely repeated his name and chuckled and said, "Yeah." So we knew they were out there and not like other families we knew. This very weird guy, this son of this family, wound up in some sort of Blue Velvet-esque, the David Lynch movie, yes, type of relationship with strange people none of us, which was a relatively wide circle of locals, knew or had anything to do with. But we heard strange stories about sex and drugs and his very unlikely participation. Then, one night, and none of us had any inkling this would ever happen, or that he was this deranged, but he decided to rob the house of a sleeping neighbor two doors down, a 69-year-old widow, and he wore a paper bag over his head and held a knife to her neck as he robbed her house and sexually assaulted her in her bedroom. And it was ugly and truly horrifying. We never saw him again. The Burbs. There was one guy I grew up with who died from a heroin overdose, and although it was tragic, it really was a matter of when, not if. We all saw it coming for a long time. It was bound to happen. I have so many stories about this guy, it is hard to believe upon recounting, but they are true, and many of them are legally and journalistically documented for posterity. He made the local papers, and he got in a lot of trouble over the course of his life. I will say he had one personality facet which was kind of sleazy, and he was nonchalant about it. He had no problem going to the peep shows and porn palaces in Times Square back in the day. The sleazy porn palaces of Times Square in the 80s. He also had an extremely juvenile sense of humor, and on multiple occasions attempted to relate what he thought was the funniest thing he ever witnessed, which involved a prostitute performing for the men in the porn palace while wearing a dominatrix outfit and using a stream of obscene language, which made him laugh so convulsively he was beside himself and could not finish sentences. When he finally was able to relate the story, it was just that, of a prostitute in a dominatrix outfit wearing a throat mic, using foul language, and he thought this was the sparkling, effervescent wit of the high life one might experience at the Algonquin Roundtable, although I am certain he had never heard of or had any idea as to who or what the Algonquin Roundtable was and who it consisted of, or what they were. Prostitutes spouting obscenities was the high point of his social calendar. He really did think like that. He died in a basement by himself of a heroin overdose. And this is only part one. More to come. Thanks for listening. See you next time. And as the kiddies say, peace out.